Okay, this time I want to recognize the High Chief, Dr. O'Carey. He has someone he wants to introduce to us. Y'all come on up here, fellas. Bring the SA on up here. We entertain dignitaries from all over the world.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to thank you all. Happy New Year, formally. This morning, it's my pleasure to introduce to us one of the kings in Owerri West local government in Nigeria. That is the local government where I come from. In 2005, I had 19 of the kings coronated me as high chief, so I report to them. I'm privileged to have one of them visiting with us today. Last 2 years, we were in his kingdom for the medical mission. And so he recognizes this church, and now he's here in Savannah. He has come to say thank you. It's my pleasure to introduce to you His Royal Highness, Eze Godwin Merenene, Dibia One of Dibia.
Good morning, everybody. Let me continue from where my brother, Dr. Kennedy O'Carey, has stopped. Yes, I am His Royal Highness, Eze Godwin Onyewuchi Bia Merenene, the traditional ruler of Umudibi Autonomous Community. Umudibi Autonomous Community is in the Owerri West local government area. Owerri local government area is Imo State. Imo State is in Nigeria. Yes, he has said it all. I can't, I don't know how to quantify or how to thank you people enough for all you have been doing through him to my rural communities in Nigeria. 2 years ago, he came along with his team, specifically for my community, my kingdom. And my people were blessed. My people were touched. My people's sufferings were alleviated. So I thank God for that. So when I arrived in Savannah, Georgia, I told him that it would be nice for me to come and say, thank you for these great people of God that have been doing great things for my people. It will not be nice for me to, after visiting, I will leave without saying thank you. Many of you, I think I recognize the other...
Gary.
Yes. The young daughter that was very wonderful.
Maya.
My people, they say I should greet you, Maya. She was on top of the matter on that very visit. She, in short, we didn't want her to go back to America. Honestly, we are here to, I'm representing my people. On behalf of Umudibia Kingdom, on behalf of people of Owerri West local government area, I want to thank you all for at least granting us the privilege of having you. You know, in Africa, in Nigeria, the kind of drug, the kind of medicine we take over there, I can't say it's not good, but you can't compare it with the one you people normally give us here. All the things you have been giving to us, we say thank you. And I want to appreciate Dr. O'Carey and the wife, the family, Leslie. They have been very wonderful. They have been playing very wonderful host to me since my arrival. They have been taking care of me. So I want to tell God, I want to say, God bless you and bless you and bless you more and more in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So I want to worship with you people today. That same God that has been blessing you here will also bless me. And when I travel back home, I'll go with that blessing. Amen. Thank you. And I learned you people will also be visiting by April. I'm very much ready. My people are ready to receive you again. Food is ready.
Yes.
Maya, are you coming with them again? Good. I will tell my people that Maya, that girl that was doing, running up and down, singing and doing all sorts of things. I give it to you. You're a great child. Thank God for this church.
Thank you.
It's our custom to pray for every leader that comes through here. And so I'm going to come around here and just lay hands on you and pray for you as you'll go back home and all of your responsibilities, the people that depend on you being obedient to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to thank you for the Eze and for his visit here today. But thank you most of all, Lord Jesus, for what you did in his life a long time ago when you brought him to yourself. God, I pray your hand of guidance to be upon him in all of his responsibilities back home, that you would give him your power, your strength, and most of all, your wisdom as he carries out, Lord, what you have put in his hands, not what man has put in his hands, but what you have put in his hands. And God, we look forward to coming there and spending time together and to see what else God wants to do in his country. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Eze.
Amen.
Welcome today.
Thank you.
Well, Maya can go back. I don't know about the rest of us. It is good to see you this morning. We're glad you're here. Let us pray. I have several things to share with you today. And I want to pray today that we will have an open heart to hear all that I believe God wants to speak to us today as his people. Let's pray. And now, Lord, we ask you to come to speak and move. Speak through your word. Speak, Lord, what you put on my heart today. Lord, the responsibility that we have before you to be obedient in all things. Come now, Lord Jesus. Come. I pray you'll give us open hearts and obedient lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to tell you several stories today. But let's go back to a story that Pastor Dane has read to us for the last 2 weeks. I want to read it a third time today. And so we can put all this in context, because what I'm going to share with you today is very much a part of that. It's very much integrated. This is the story of Zacchaeus, which, by the way, the first sermon I ever preached was on this passage. I wrote it in green ink. I still have my notes from it years ago. This is in Luke 19, 1 through 10. This is from the New Living Version. And it says there, "And Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region. He had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree and beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. He said, 'Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today.' Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He had gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and he said, 'I'll give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people of taxes, I'll give them back four times as much.' And Jesus responded, 'Salvation has come to this house today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost.'" Now, in the last 2 weeks, Pastor Dane has shared from this passage. He shared about, number one, the name of our church. This passage is where the name of our church comes from, the Sycamore Church. The sycamore tree lifted Zacchaeus up so that he could see Jesus. Hence the motto for our church, lifting people up so that they can see Jesus. Pastor Dane shared that with us a couple of weeks ago. And then last week, he shared our purpose, which is knowing him, making him known. Zacchaeus came to know Jesus. Jesus changed his life. And then he made Jesus known to others through his own repayment plan, that showed what was in his heart. Scripture says that that Zacchaeus said, I'll give half of everything of what I've stolen to the poor. And if I've cheated people four times back, I'm going to give them. And Jesus said, salvation's come to this house today. Wouldn't you like to hear that from the Lord? That kind of affirmation from Him? So in the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the name of our church. We've looked at our purpose, our motto, our purpose. Lifting people up so they can see Jesus and knowing Him and making Him known. So, I have a question. Let's return to the beginning of the story. What happened that started all of these events in Zacchaeus' life? He heard God's voice. Now, we don't know what happened before that time, but we do know that he was motivated enough that he wanted to see Jesus. You can imagine, he had heard about Jesus. He may have seen Jesus at a distance, couldn't get up close, because he had this plan, going to climb up in this tree, and then when he comes by, I'll get to see him. You know, imagine, you know, he was kept from Jesus not only by the barrier of his height, of the crowds that would come around Jesus, he couldn't see Jesus, but also by his past, what he had done. There were definitely barriers that were between Zacchaeus and Jesus. And the Lord overcame those barriers as he spoke to Zacchaeus. Scripture doesn't record all the ways they did that, but we know that he heard God's voice. And in particular, in this story, we know he heard God's voice, right? Heard it very clearly. Hearing God's voice is at the base and a primary thing for all those who believe in Jesus. Is it not? How will we know what to do? How to act? What decisions to make, both small and large, unless we hear God's voice? We hear from Him specifically when He tells us what to do with our lives. Well, Audrey and I heard God's voice in 1992. This has been happening for a while. We were pastoring at a church in Middle Georgia. This is our second pastorate as a senior pastor. And the Lord had been stirring our hearts about planting a church. And for the longest time, I said to her, I said, well, when our kid, we had two kids at the time, Brennan and Megan, and we said, well, when they get up and we get them off in college, that'd be a good time for us to sprout out and go. Well, you know, another child came along in the midst of that. But one day, I remember it vividly in our den in our house where we lived in Gray, Georgia. Audrey came up to me and she put her finger in my chest. And she was pointing at me. She said, Dusty Reynolds? And he should have said that. She had said that earlier that morning. She said, Dusty Reynolds, you're going to plant a church or die, aren't you? I said, what? What are you talking about? She said, we can't wait. The time is now. That was 1992. We began praying about it. And so we left the comfortable confines of a very nice church and all of that. And God led us to Savannah. Now, Savannah was the last place, and you know, even though this is where I grew up, when we left here, we left Savannah for good, rearview mirror, not ever going back. But God changed things in our heart as He spoke to us over time. And He opened an opportunity for us to move back to Savannah. Now, many times, and we did, 1993, last week of January of 93, we moved here. The first Tuesday of February, we had our first meeting in our home out at 12713 Sunnybrook Road in Windsor Forest, where it was me, Audrey, Brandon, Megan, John, and Tina Bonifacio. That was the first meeting of our church. God has spoken to us many times since then. Masako was part of that original group. And I'm looking at others that came along very early. Very early. Masako told me months before that when we moved, she was ready to come on with us, you know. John tracked us down at a restaurant one night, you know. We were trying to have a family meal, and John shows up and just busts in there and says, "I don't know what you're doing, but I want to be a part of it," you know. That kind of thing. And John's been by our side ever since. Many times since that time, and that's been however long ago that's been, 25, 26 years, God has shown us many things. I mean, one illustration that comes to mind, you know, when we lost our lease out at Georgetown Elementary out there, and we're meeting at Midtown at the Jacob G. Smith School. We thought, man, we were gonna go into Savannah Tech. They had had a church in there. We're going to meet in there. That was going to be the greatest thing. We've been talking to the president of Savannah Tech. He was rolling out the red carpet, but as we prayed about it, God told us no. He told us no. He told us this. He showed us this in prayer. He told us no. Don't do that. Well, we shared that on Sunday, and you know, a few people said, man, that just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Tuesday morning, the newspaper. Front page. President of Savannah Tech resigns because of malfeasance in office. There went our opportunity. But see, God had already spoken to us about it ahead of time. That's why I tell you that story. Many, 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 many times in between, God has revealed Himself. He has shown us that. Now, the Lord has spoken to us again. In June of 2009, we received, probably sometime in May, late May, early June, the Tabernacle Baptist Church gave us this property where you sit, right here, all of this. They gave us this. This June, we'll have been in here 10 years. Now, I want you to look around. I want you to think about this with me for just a moment. Should a church quit listening to God, or should they continue to listen to His voice? The answer is obvious. You continue to listen. When we prayed through this building, and let me tell you, receiving this building and receiving what Tabernacle Church did is they invested, continued to invest this building and all that goes with into the kingdom of God. That was God speaking. That was God working. And at the time, we didn't have another place to meet. We didn't know what we were going to do. They doubled the rent in the school. It was going to be tough for us. And then this opened, wide open. God working through all the moving parts for it to take place. This past August, late August, early September, I can't remember the exact date. We've been praying. Your pastors have been praying for some time. God, show us what to do. We've beat our heads against the wall about many, many things. We've shared with you some of those struggles. But God, show us exactly what we're supposed to do. We'll follow you. We'll do what you want us to do. We've seen God do many, many things here in this place and around us. But right back here in this corner room, we heard it just as clear as you can hear that right there. God speak, and He said, it's time to get back to the hub. Now, what does that mean? Let's talk about hub for just a moment. What is a hub? A hub is where you begin. Now, you think about a wheel. The hub, that's the starting place. That's where it's all held together. It's secondly, it's a home base. It's a center place. Thirdly, it's a place from which you are sent out. The spokes go out. But let me tell you, the spokes are only as strong as the hub, right? You have no hub, what happens to the spokes? It doesn't matter how big the spokes are, how all the rest of this, if you don't have that hub, if it's securely fastened, if it's not there, then you don't have that wheel. John, bring up for me that picture. I want you to see this and quote a passage of Scripture. Acts 1:8 says this. This is Jesus speaking before, just right before he ascended. He said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses," show them John, "in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." So if you outline the book of Acts and what God did then, you start at the hub, which is Jerusalem. Let me ask you, is Jerusalem still the hub of the world? You better believe it is. You better believe it is. Somebody sneezes in Jerusalem and it affects the world. Right now, I don't need to make that case today. That case is made just by the amount of copy that's given it in newspapers, magazines, internet. But I want you to see how God went out. Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem was the hub. What's our hub? What's our hub? What's the hub of the Sycamore Church? We began in Georgetown. God gave us a vision there. We felt so strongly about it, that we bought property there. Our office and our home base have always been there. That's our mailing address. If you send mail to us, it's 2031 Grove Point Road, 31419. Savannah, Georgia. It is our hub. We have sent out many from that place, but it's continued to be the hub of who we are. When we prayed through these buildings, in particular in the sanctuary, years ago, back in 2009, at the time when the Tabernacle Church gave us these buildings, one of the things the Lord spoke through us that day was that, "Lord, we receive this today as your gift, and as long as you lead us to be here, this is where we'll be." Now, I want you to know, we've had church plants all over Savannah. We've had them on Wilmington Island. We have them in Pooler. We've had them in Richmond Hill. We've been in Midtown. We've been a lot of different places. But our hub has always been Georgetown. With that being said, so when the Lord says, "It's time for you to get back to your hub," that was a pretty plain statement. Very, very plain statement. What would that require? Well, first of all, let me say to you, just as a preface to that, what I'm about to say, what's God taught us? Now, He's opened up many opportunities for ministry in the city, which doesn't change. None of that changes, because that's never affected us much anywhere, as the Lord has opened up things in the city, inner city ministry, be it Baptist Center, be it the homeless ministry, all these things that we've done, a list of those that Lord's done through us over the years. What will this require? Number one, it will require a relaunch of the Sycamore Church in Georgetown at the hub. Now think about that. That's commensurate with God speaking. And let me say to you, We hadn't started thinking about this 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago. This is something we've been agonizing over for several years, asking God what He would have us to do as a body. And what is His plan and His purpose for us? So when we think about relaunch, I want, and get around to this a little bit more of this in just a moment, but a relaunch isn't just a physical place. Well, I believe the greater message is that God is asking us to do is the second thing, a renewal and revival of us as people. It's easy to get pretty lackadaisical, isn't it? Man, remember when we first went into Georgetown School? That was just an elementary school out there. We'd carry those room dividers around. I think people hate me because I found those room dividers. And we had Tim Snyder. Tim had to put them together because he's the only one tall enough that could look down with a drill motor and connect them. And the rest of us have to stand up on, you know, on a stool or something. But Tim, he'd take them, that big old Tim, he'd practically wrap his arms around a big teddy bear. Tell him I said that when you talk to him, Allie. But it's easy to get lackadaisical about your commitment. I believe more than anything else, what God's asking us to do is relaunch our hearts, relaunch the mission, knowing Him, making Him known, lifting people up so they can see Jesus. That's why I began with that. Third thing, it's going to take an all-in commitment to Jesus and His body. My hope is that every single one of you and every person connected with us will wholeheartedly join in with us as God leads you and be a part of this. But I'm asking you to put it before the Lord and not do what Dusty says. Well, you wouldn't do that anyway. But come to Him and say, Lord, what is it? An all-in commitment to Jesus and to His body. Some of you sitting here, you've never really been a part of the mobile church. You haven't experienced that. And some of you who are grown now remember when you were little kids what your parents were doing, and as you were getting in trouble, Forrester girls, while your parents were trying to do the works. I'm not going to mention any names, Maya, or Logan. It's going to take an all-in commitment. Number four, a centering of our lives on His purpose. Now, that's not some new cult, K-H-M-H-K. What does it stand for? Thank you. Knowing Him, making Him known. A centering of our lives on His purpose. So that everything about it, it revolves around the stack pole of that. Let me give you just one illustration that the Lord showed me when we moved to Savannah 93 to plant. I'd been very involved in the Southern Baptist denomination and all sorts of committees and all. Lord told me, He said, wipe it all out. You're doing one thing, and it's this church. You're going to plant this church, and everything that then this church is a part of, that's what you're going to be a part of. That's why earlier today, we have knowing Him, making Him known. It's in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. Let's say, man, you know, the Ezek came all the way here just to make that point for me today, that we're a part of every part of the spreading the gospel as you go out from this world and from the hub and deciding where you're a part of it. And number five is hearing His voice. We're going to have to listen to God's voice. That never stops. That never stops. Let me tell you, it's the most exciting thing in the world to live on the edge of obedience of His will. That is the most exciting place Because you're in that precarious balance. You don't want to fall in this ditch over here or this ditch over here. There's only one place left for you to be, and it's right in the center of God's will. In His plan and His purpose for your life. And He moves us together and joins us together. We have a core of people that are in this church that God has integrated together that dynamite could not separate and won't, because God put us together. And there's a lot more people that He wants to put together. And just a word about Georgetown for just a moment. The Georgetown of 1993 is not the Georgetown of 2019, let me tell you. Now, you talk about diversity? You got some diversity in Georgetown. You talk about a widespread, you got it there. 14, 15,000 people live right there in that one little area. God has never revoked that call for us to be there. So, what time is it? What time is it for the Sycamore Church? I give you four New Testament words that will give you the exact time. The first word is chronos. Something that several of you have done since you've been in here today. I know you've got all these methods, you know, as you look at it. And all you need to do is turn around and look at John, and you got a clock right back there. I mean, John puts us on the clock every week. Chronos. That's what it means. That's chronological time. Time going along. I'm asking you, in that way of speaking, what is God showing us? And what is He opening to us? He is opening a door for us as a congregation. Secondly, the word eon, or ion, if you pronounce it according to the Greek there, this is an era. It's a specific time. All last year, I can point to you, there's a half a dozen of you sitting here today at least that have said to me, Pastor, I feel like we're moving into a new era, a new time zone. You know how you feel that when you move from one place to another? You move to a different zone, if you will, and you can feel that. You know it. It's not something that you can just, you know, it's not as much something you deduce about the circumstances. It's more of just a feeling. Now, it wasn't a feeling for the people I believe spoke to me this past year. It was something God spoke to you. God spoke to you and said, hey, I feel like we're moving into a different zone. And yes, we have been. He was getting us ready. Third word is the word telos. It's the end. We say, that time has come. That way you'd use, the telos has come. The end has come. When you come to the end of one chapter in a book, what do? You turn the page and you go to the next chapter. That's what God's doing right now. He has brought one phase to an end and is opening another. And then the final word is word kairos, which means God's special time. It's God's anointed time. It's God's baptized time. It's God's immersed time. It's the opportune time. It's the opening. It's the vision time. For such a time as this, God has brought us to the kingdom. And He is opening to us this kairos time. And today, as a senior pastor of the Sycamore Church, I'm inviting you to join God and to join us as we move forward with His vision, His plan, His purpose for our lives. Sidebar. Footnote out to the side here. I'm so excited. I can't stand myself. We shared this and brought this before our all the leaders of our church this past week, and got overwhelming affirmation from them. You know, people, that's about time. You know, one said, well, you know, I wanted to get up and do the happy dance. I'm that excited, not about location, but about what I see God doing. And he could do that anywhere, couldn't he? But we let him choose. He chose this a long time ago, and he's inviting us. Now, y'all remember Mr. Rogers? Remember after he put on the shoes and the cardigan, he'd say, remember that? That's what the Holy Spirit's doing right now. He's saying, come on, I've got something to show you that today you have not dreamed. It's bigger. It's better. It's deeper. It's wider. It's longer than anything you can wrap your mind around. I feel humbled and privileged to know that God has this kind of confidence in us as a people. I'm not here to beat you up today. I'm here to encourage you and say the hand of God is upon us. He is showing us what we must do. And the Kairos has come. The implications of that, yes, we'll put this on the market, and whatever God brings to us, we'll invest in whatever we end up building out there on almost 7 acres that we own, according along with a house that is our office, and a beautiful piece of property that half the developers in Chatham County would like to own today, but a prime location for such a time as this, for us then to go out from and be the sending agency God has called us to be. Well, let me tell you, that hub has got to be strong. It's going to require commitment. It's going to require all of us to look at our giving, which could stand a real dose of renewal and revival. But more than that, are we willing to give ourselves and put ourselves at the disposal of God? I'm 64 years old, and I feel like I'm about 16 right now. I'm so wound up, ready to go now. Let's pray. Gary, you don't need to come up. Now, if Maya wants to come up and stand by me, that'd be all right. Would you join me in prayer right now? No, Lord. We're asking you to speak to us today. We're asking you to come with your power and your strength. We're asking you, Lord, let us listen to your voice, not our opinions, not our own presuppositions. But Lord, what are you saying to us today? I thank you, Lord, for the people in this room. Lord, so faithful, who through thick and thin, God, they have chosen you, and they know they have been put in this body by the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you for blessing upon each of those folk today. Lord, as we proceed to the future, let us hear your voice clearly. Now, as we remain in an attitude of prayer, the baskets are here. If you want to bring your offering, if you have cards to bring, the basket in the back and up here, you can bring them. When I got my doctor's degree, Jimmy Nelson was the dean of the School of Theology. I want to tell you why I say this statement I say all the time. And he had a nickname, Jimmy, that he went by. I have a nickname, Dusty, that I went by, and yet they wanted me to put my actual given name when I presented my paper. He said, when I received my degree, he put his hands on me He grabbed me, because he was up there on stage, and he said, "Dusty, sick 'em." Not exactly something you'd do at one of those high holy occasions where you're getting a degree at the seminary or the cemetery, whatever they call it. So I'm going to say to you right now, sick 'em. We're done.